Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jody Sweetin.
Andrea Barber.
Hi.
Been having to work on my vibrato. Traveling and such, my voice is not, I've sound a little raspy.
Welcome back and happy new year. This is our first episode of 2024.
Oh my
gosh. When this airs, it'll be 2024.
Right?
Isn't that crazy?
We're time traveling right now.
We are time traveling.
Yes.
That's crazy. Where did 2023 go? That went by so fast.
I just keep calling it, like, you know, 2020 season, whatever. And so it's just like we've never really left that year. I feel like I'm still stuck back there.
We're still recovering from all that.
I'm still at the turn of the century. I mean, this last century, the end of 2000. I'm still there.
Are you a resolution maker, or are you anti New Year's resolutions?
Oh no, I don't make resolutions. I try not to stick with anything for too long. I just know that it's too much pressure to put on myself. It's a thing where I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna radically change who I am in a year.
Right.
You know, it's not gonna happen. I'm not suddenly gonna become, you know, a person that gets up at 4:30 a.m. and works out every day. It's just not gonna be me. So why set myself up to fail?
That's true.
Usually January, it's my birthday. So I'm always like, well, why start eating healthy now? Because, you know, I'm going to indulge. But I definitely start like being like, okay, the holidays are over. Get rid of all the sugar. Get like just, you know, get back being a little more active and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But what about you? Resolutions?
I used to be more of a resolution maker when I was younger and had more energy.
It was all about
like, oh, eat healthier or exercise every day. You know, it was all stuff about how I looked. And now I'm like, middle age. Now I'm like, I don't care. How I look.
No, I do it for my mental health.
Feel.
Yeah, I don't care. Exactly.
Health.
Yeah.
I used to do like an intention, like a word, like joy or patience. And that would be my word of the year.
Right.
And then I was just like, why am I doing this? No, like, yeah, you're setting yourself up for failure. Like, there's just, I ain't got time or patience for that. So now I'm just like, well, you know, if I can get on my Peloton and ride a few times a week, that's good. But if not, give yourself grace.
Yeah. If I walk from here to the coffee shop at the end of the street, I'm like, look, I got an exercise and I was outdoors.
Yes.
Look at me go.
Yes. This is the year of giving ourselves grace.
Yes.
And not feeling bad about not sticking to resolutions or not even making resolutions. I don't feel bad about that.
I'm not making any resolutions. Sorry, my teenager just walked by the window after just getting up. It's like 11:30 Christmas
is
break.
Is that Zoe?
And, yeah, she's just teenager? Like, yeah, she just walked in front of the window and was like, like still in her pajamas, just half asleep. I was like, hello.
Are they on, are they on winter break? We're going back now, but are they already on
break? Yes, they're on winter break. Zoe got a concussion the last week of school playing soccer. So she went on break a couple days earlier.
Okay.
Just because like the last few days were finals and all that stuff. So, yes. So in the time traveling world of 2 weeks ago, they're off.
They're off. Okay. Felicity's in finals right now.
We have
now,
to go to the mall today and I'm not excited for it. Again, time traveling back. This is pre-holidays. And I know. I don't want to do it.
That's the worst. No, it's the week of Christmas. You can't. What is wrong with you? You've been gone though, so you have to
Gone in Canada working, and so I've done some online shopping. I have a few things to get in person, and then pretty much whatever I don't get by tomorrow, like I don't care.
Forget it.
You know me in the holidays, I freak out. Gifts. Oh, God.
The gift anxiety. Yes.
Gifting. I am the worst with gifts, with receiving gifts. Yeah. It's fun to get gifts, but then if it's not the right gift, then I stress out and then it becomes a whole spiral.
Who's the hardest person to give a gift to in your family or your orbit or your neighborhood, whoever you're giving gifts
to? Well, it depends, but sometimes Mescal, my husband, sometimes is very hard to gift for.
Oh, really? Okay.
But this year he's gotten into, he and his friend are getting into like backpacking and doing some hiking, and like they're kind of setting up for like a 4-day, like long distance one. So they've been doing a little more. So there were some things he wanted for that made it a little bit easier.
Okay. That's good. It's good to have a direction.
I need very specific, like give me a list and the things that you want, give me a link and I will click on it and it will, and there you go. And merry, happy holidays. You know what I mean? Like that unless it's like throughout the year where I see, like sometimes I'll see something that reminds me of you or, you know, then I'll pick it up. But the holidays are a lot. So if you're also just getting through the holidays and it's now 2024, just let it go. It's all good. New year,
no expectations.
New year, no expectations, no resolutions. Don't worry about changing yourself. Just
love
you.
Love yourself the way you are.
Love yourself. Exactly. I'm like Mr. Rogers now.
Speaking of old shows.
Yeah, but
we are
now.
We,
I want to go change my shoes and my sweater.
and your cardigan.
And my car, I do have a little cardigan on. It says love on it. Oh, it's very Mr. Rogers.
Well, we've reached our season finale for season one.
I can't believe it.
What? How? This went by so fast.
It went by so fast.
I can't believe we've watched an entire season of Full House.
Now I can say I have watched an entire season of Full House.
This is huge. And this is a great
Nothing
episode.
Like doing it 30 some odd years later, but
better late than never, right?
It's the art of procrastination.
The ultimate procrastination.
Yes. Yes.
This is a very
exciting episode because we have a musical guest.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, not on the,
no one's going to burst out singing on How Rude Tanneritos.
Other than maybe you and I, but on
the last episode of season one of Full House.
Oh, it's very so good. Guest. It's so good. I loved this episode, and not just because I was in a lot of it.
It is a very Kimmy heavy episode, and I was very happy about that. Yay. It was great.
Oh, me too. Yes. Me too. Well, let's get into it. Welcome back How Rude Tanneritos. I'm Andrea Barber.
And I'm Jody Sweeten.
And today we are discussing season one, episode 22, titled DJ Tanner's Day Off, which of course is a take on the title of the 1986 movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, also a classic.
Yes.
So this episode originally aired on May 6th, 1988, and it goes a little something like this. When DJ hears that her favorite singer, Stacy Q, will be at the mall giving out autographs, she's willing to do anything to get the chance to meet her. Even lie to her family to skip class.
Ooh, DJ. Dun, dun, dun. DJ the Rebel.
This was directed by Joel Zwick, and it was written by Michael S. Baser and Kim Weissikoff. Ah. And then, like you mentioned, the guest star of the week, very exciting, Stacey Swain, also known as Stacey Q of the Two of Hearts.
I need you.
So good. Oh my gosh. Ugh. Her music was a classic. I don't know why 80s. She's not so like great. A number one hit right now, but
maybe you could bring back a cruise just for her.
Yeah, there we go.
A Stacey
Q-Ruse. And I didn't know that she also appeared in Facts of Life for 2 episodes. Huh. No idea.
I didn't know that either.
Good. She's got
as
quite
Stacey
the credits.
Q or like as just as Stacey Swain?
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question. But
she's also an OC girl like us. She's from Fullerton.
She's from Fullerton. So yeah, no, that's very exciting. Go Orange County. We have a producer note that she played. Oh. She didn't play herself on Facts of Life. She played a character named Cinnamon.
Got it.
Okay. I don't know what kind of character that is.
I don't know. Right. I don't know whose name Cinnamon. She did have great red hair, though.
Yeah, so. She did. Okay. She was a little red hot. Okay, so let's get into the episode. We open girls' room where DJ is singing to Don't Make a Fool of Yourself by Stacey Q, using a hairbrush as a microphone.
Ugh.
So relatable, and Candace is really selling this moment because I used to do this with my New Kids on the Block songs in my bedroom, singing with the hairbrush. Did you do this? Admit it. Did you do this too?
Oh, I'm sure I did. I don't know about if I sang with a hairbrush, but I definitely choreographed many, many a number to Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation album in my room. So yeah, there was a lot of, I was very heavy in the choreography. So yeah,
okay, good.
I fully will say that I did that.
As DJ is dancing around her room, Kimmy walks in, surprised to see the performance. Kimmy turns the stereo off and DJ pretends like she was just brushing her hair casually.
just doing a thing.
Yep. Then Kimmy bursts out laughing, which is possibly the worst acted laugh in sitcom history. Like, I was cringing.
It was pretty terrible. It was pretty forced.
It sounded like a forced fake laugh, and I think it was supposed to be a natural laugh, so that's why it's equally just as terrible.
Right. Well, basically, you just want people to know that you don't actually laugh like that. Right. You're like, that's not an accurate representation of my laughter. That is, yeah.
Clearly, I needed to work on those acting skills throughout the next 8 seasons of the show.
Well, I mean, there was just, you were looking for something funny to laugh at. Yeah. So,
okay.
And you were looking.
So DJ defensively says, like, you never do this. And Kimmy responds, not like that. Oh, judgy Kimmy. She excitedly walks over to DJ, showing her a letter that will get her out of school tomorrow. DJ starts to read the letter and that explains that Kimmy's absence is due to their family rabbit having bunnies, and her parents want Kimmy to share the miracle.
Doesn't she say Cammy? Because it's written by your older brother Garth. I swear that I heard that. Maybe is it like the yinny yanny, whatever?
Maybe.
No, I thought when she was reading the thing that that was one of the jokes was that it says Cammy is going to whatever. And it's like
Garth
the joke is
wrote
that
it. We assume Garth wrote it and doesn't know his own sister's name.
Right.
That would fit right in with this Gibbler family lore.
Yeah.
That
unless I made that joke up in my head and heard it on the screen. I don't know. Weirder things have happened, but I feel like that was a joke that happened in there. And it was,
Yes. I agree with that. That's a joke.
Yeah.
So Kimmy admits that her parents didn't actually write this letter because they're in Vegas, but her big brother wrote it for $20.
On an archaeological dig?
No, that came in Fuller.
I know.
This family has never been consistent in their careers, their involvement in family life.
The Gibblers are spies. That's what it is. They're just constantly making up stories about. Yeah,
always. And they're constantly making up how many children they have and the genders. Like there's no continuity in the Gibbler family.
Maybe they have a gambling issue.
Oh,
maybe that's why they're in Vegas. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, no, we've got 7 kids to worry about. No, we have 4. No, we have I don't know.
Or they just forget that they have kids and that's why they're in Vegas.
Could be that too. Yep.
So Kimmy's big brother wrote this note for $20, but Kimmy reveals that she actually took the money from his wallet. So it all works out okay for her. So DJ tells her, this means you can go to the mini mall and get Stacy Q's autograph. They say in unison, Stacy Q, she's so rad. Did you know who Stacy Q was back in 1988? Because I did, and yes. I was very excited to meet her.
I did. I knew who she was. Now, do you know who they tried to get originally?
No. Oh, I don't know this.
So there's a backstory to this.
Oh,
so
tell.
Originally, I believe they tried to get Tiffany.
Oh, that would have been major.
Who was very big at the time. And I believe the story went that they asked her.
Okay.
Or they asked her management team and she turned it down. And so, and then they went out to Stacy Q. Well, years later, I had talked to I'm friends with somebody who was her manager or who is friends with her, who knows her. And apparently her management team never asked her. They just denied on her behalf. And then she found out later and she would have done it.
How rude. That is incredible. I didn't know that. And yes, I would have been stoked.
Yes.
Because you know who she was dating, Tiffany, back in the day? Jonathan Knight, before he came out, obviously. So they were dating. They were like the couple of 1988 or 87, whenever it was. So, oh my gosh, if she had come to set, she would have brought Jonathan Knight to set. I would have met him for the first time.
It would have been a whole, your entire life could have been different.
Yeah. Easily.
Yep. You would have been the sixth new kid.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Only. If only.
But we got Stacy Q instead.
I seem to remember this is the someone informing me of this story.
Okay. Okay. Yes. That's fascinating. I didn't know that. Yep. I'm very excited to learn that. But I'm also very glad we got Stacy Q because she was a rock star.
Stacy Q was amazing. And she autographed and gave us albums. And I listened to that album over and over and over again in my room at home.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I felt so cool. So at this moment, Stephanie walks in asking the girls, what are you doing? The girls give her a blank stare, obviously uninterested. So Steph waves her hand in front of them and asking, hello. DJ explains to Stephanie that your world is down here. Our world is up here, motioning to their height differences. So Steph grabs a chair and stands on it, making her the same height, and asks if she can play with them now.
I mean,
problem solver.
Yeah. Okay. Problem solved. Now what? Yep. Love it.
I love that. So next we are in the living room where Danny yells up to the girls to come down and say goodbye to him before he leaves for LA. Danny gives Jesse and Joey some phone numbers that they may need while he's away. He rattles off too many names like pediatrician, grandma, police. And Jesse jokes, oh, you left out the White House and the Equalizer.
By the way, did you notice he says grandma and this is the thing, the hill I'm going to die on with all of this. He says grandma and other grandma, which would be Jesse's mom.
Right. And Jesse should already have her phone number.
Have her phone number.
And then grandma.
But nobody says like grandma and your mom.
No.
It's grandma and other. Yeah.
They always just refer to her as just the grandma, not Jesse's mom. And then Danny's mom doesn't she live in Seattle or Tacoma?
Seattle.
She's not, it's not, what would her phone number do for them?
I don't know.
Whatever. That's okay. Danny's
anyway,
just being Danny. So
just,
he's
covering
all of his bases.
I needed to cover that again.
I'm glad you did.
Just saying.
So Danny admits that he may be overreacting, but it's his first time being away from the girls overnight. To which I say, no, he's not overreacting. Do you remember back in episode 2, our very first night, he brought a whole dang band into the living room and kept the girls up half the night. So of course Danny's not overreacting. Danny is covering his bases.
No, he's like, this is last time I left, I walked into a concert.
Right.
Yeah.
So I admire Danny for being proactive.
And not only a concert, a lost kid.
Okay. Because
remember, they lost DJ.
Right.
So he is not at all overreacting.
No.
I'm surprised he's leaving again this soon.
True. True. He's got to make sure that these girls are going to come out unscathed from his from his trip. So DJ and Stephanie come down and they give their dad a big hug saying that they'll miss him. Danny continues to hug each of his daughters separately, telling them he'll miss them and includes Kimmy in the rotation.
Oh, he hugged Kimmy.
He did. This was our first.
I wrote it down. I was like,
Kimmy,
wait,
Danny
Danny's hugging Kimmy. This is amazing.
This was one of the first and only times. And It comes back in Fuller House 36 years later, where we finally hug for real at the end of that series. So Steph yells to him, "Take it easy. You're hugging other people's kids." Danny pats Kimmy and apologizes. Then Danny tells his girls that while he's gone, Uncle Jesse and Joey will be in charge. And DJ assures her dad that they will not let him down. Joey and Jesse get the girls upstairs, saying it's time for bed, while DJ stays behind to talk to her dad. Before Danny leaves, DJ asks, "Hey, you wouldn't mind if I got an autograph from my favorite singer, Stacey Q, would you?" He tells her, "No, not at all." Kimmy and DJ both give each other a big thumbs up, and DJ proceeds to tell her dad, "Okay, great, just sign this note excusing me from school tomorrow and have a wonderful trip."
Perfect, great, done. Thanks, Dad, bye.
Danny smiles and tells her, "Nice try." But DJ tries pleading her case, saying she'll make up the day she's missing and go to school on Christmas. Danny explains to her, "Look, we all have our jobs. My job is to go to LA and cover a surfing competition. Your job is to go to school." DJ pleads, "Kimmy gets to go, why can't I?" And Danny emphasizes it, "Because you're not Kimmy." I don't know why Kimmy's missing school, but there's a lot of things about Kimmy that I don't understand.
Oh, Kimmy.
Oh, Kimmy. And Kimmy takes this as a compliment. She waves and smiles at him after hearing this. And then Bob awkwardly waves back. It's so funny. So DJ argues that if she doesn't get this autograph, she will die.
Yeah. They've spoken like a true preteen.
Yes.
I hear this all the time in my house. Right. I'm going to die.
I'm going to die. Oh. If I don't get to go to the mall, I'm going to die.
Right. Right.
So Danny assures her that no one has ever died from lack of autograph. He tells DJ
he knows of.
He tells DJ he has to go. He asks her for a big hug. Instead, she holds out her hand for a handshake, telling him, "Goodbye, father." He pulls her in for a hug anyways and tells her to have a good time and he'll see her tomorrow afternoon. Kimmy walks over and tells DJ she's sorry, but DJ assures her that this isn't over yet.
I see Bob, after that, you can see Bob's makeup on Candace's sweater.
Oh, like that little brown. Yeah.
Well, do you remember? This was something I remembered recently too. Bob had a lot of freckles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on the show, in like the original, they covered all of his freckles. Mm-hmm. So he had a ton of makeup on, and they used to put it on his hands too. Yeah,
lots of foundation.
So he'd always have But like back in the 80s or whatever, I think as the show went on, they didn't do that as much. But I just remember that like Bob had a lot of makeup on covering his freckles.
You can kind of see it in this episode too, how heavy that foundation is.
It was also the 80s, and like the lighting was. Yeah.
There was no HGTV or HDTV back then. So
Nothing was in 4K.
No. Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure, stress-free, and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988, no yes. phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So next, we are in Uncle Jesse's room where Uncle Jesse is singing an original song and admits out loud, "God, that was horrible." DJ is standing in the doorway telling him she loved it. Jesse is surprised.
Always be suspicious when children compliment you.
Right.
Always.
Yes. If they compliment you
right.
without
you're like,
prompting.
That was great. You're like, I don't trust
something's
this.
Something's wrong. But Jesse is surprised. He admits, I could be wrong. And DJ just continues with these compliments, telling her uncle he's so talented, so charming, good looking, funny, great head of hair. Jesse sighs and asks her what she wants. And then he admits, whatever it is, you got it. See, she's playing into that Jesse ego.
She knows, yeah.
Very smart of DJ. DJ asks if she can interview him. She has an essay due on the person she admires the most. And of course, she picked Jesse.
Oh, of course.
He is honored. He pulls up a chair for her saying, go, be, do. Jesse starts his interview telling DJ how it all started about 150 years ago with his great-great-grandfather, Spiro. DJ asks, no, let's just skip to his life asking if he was a wild child. Jesse confirms that he was a rebel munchkin. In his coloring books, he would even color outside the lines on purpose. She continues to ask if he ever ditched school, and he admits, yeah, it happened once in a while. He tells DJ he's not proud that he used to ditch school, but he was the best, which he's not proud of either. He ditched school to see the Rolling Stones farewell concert, trying to recall if it was their fifth or sixth and deciding it was their sixth.
Which is hilarious because their fifth or sixth like farewell concert in the 80s.
In the 80s.
And they're still, going touring and, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, they're on their like 800th
joke still
farewell
works. Tour. That, amazingly
does.
Enough. Yeah.
That joke
36
helped
years
up.
Later. Yeah.
So Jesse tells her that he played the sick scam to get out of school. He pretended he had a fever with cold hands and red eyes, and he used the two magical words, I'm sick, which he says in like a sad, whiny tone.
Yeah. Five eyes, I
yes,
think he
five
says.
Eyes. Yep,
yeah.
He counted them. So Jesse would tell his mom he really wanted to go to school, but she'd call him in sick anyways. Jesse recalls that 10 minutes later, I'd convince my mom that I'm all better so she would send me to school. DJ smiles and continues, since she already called the school, and Jesse confirms, they weren't expecting me. Smart thinking.
Okay. DJ Two Ads.
Steps ahead.
Yeah, yep. DJ Ads. So you were free to get the autograph. I mean, go to the concert. DJ thanks him and starts walking away. But Jesse stops her asking, hey, wait, that's the end of the interview? And DJ stutters, no. What's your favorite color? Jesse tells her black. And DJ nods, thanks him, and runs away. Okay. She got what she needed and the interview was
over.
That
was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would almost say that his favorite color is turquoise, but whatever.
I was thinking the same thing, like black or turquoise, but
yeah,
black is kind of devoid of color. So I would go with turquoise. That's true. As well.
I mean, yeah, if you're going by the technical definition, yeah. Black is the absence of. Yeah. So.
Okay. That's all right. He chose black. He's a tough guy.
That's fine.
I accept that answer. So next scene, we are in the bathroom where DJ has a giant heating pack on her forehead while she simultaneously sniffs an onion. She checks her temperature. It's 106. Hospital.
Why does she? That was my question.
Oh, what?
What the hell did the onion have to do with this? Why was there an onion?
She was making her eyes water, like all red and watery from sniffing the onion. Do you not cry when you cut onions?
I do, but I guess if I were trying to pretend to be sick, I wouldn't want to smell like onions.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, but she's trying to make her eyes red because I guess Jesse made them.
I don't know. Okay.
She also kind of throws all the evidence away in the bath. Like, she doesn't hide this evidence very well, either.
Well, I mean, but she's dealing with Jesse and Joey. She's they're kind of amateurs in this.
This is so true. She's very confident about this plan.
Yeah. Did you ever fake sick to get out of anything? Did you ever try this?
No, I was a good kid. I would get stomach aches because I was genuinely anxious as a child.
Anxiety.
But I would never fake it. Like I could never lie to my parents. I was just a goody two shoes and I just felt like they could see it all over my face if I would try to get away with a lie. So I don't recall ever faking a sickness.
I don't think I ever faked sick to get out of school. Cause it wasn't like my parents were leaving the house to go to work. You know what I mean? Like it didn't get me anything.
Right.
If I was like, oh, I can't go. Chances are we have had rehearsal that day anyway. You know what I mean? Like there was something that was, I was like, it's not going to work out for me.
It's a different when you're under contract on a show and you go to school on the set, you can't really fake. You can't fake getting out of that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we missed out on that, childhood milestone. So she's checking her temperature. It's 106, which she's like, no, that's hospital.
Yeah, you'd be that bad.
Oh, yeah. She shakes the thermometer to cool it down. It's now 104. She's like, no, that's a doctor's visit. She shakes the thermometer again, and it goes down to 101. Out of school. Bingo. DJ throws the evidence away and walks into her room groaning. Mm. Stephanie looks at her worriedly and asks what's wrong. DJ responds in the same sad, whiny tone that Jesse taught her. I'm sick, with five eyes.
Yes.
DJ plops onto her bed and Stephanie pulls the covers over her, petting her bangs. This is so sweet how you're like literally petting her like an emotional support animal.
The little baby.
So sweet. So Stephanie's petting her bangs and she says, poor baby, I'll get Joey. You just need some peace and quiet. Then she immediately yells, Joey, get in here. Get in here.
I had to laugh because I do that still now. And my husband will attest to this, that I'll be like sitting down on the couch with him and I'll be like, so what do I want to do for dinner? I don't know. Well, why don't we ask the kids? Okay. Hey, go. And then I'll just like, he's like, oh, I thought like you'd go get them. Or something. Yeah. So I was like, oh, it's the same as true today.
It's faster just to yell. You know, why get up?
When it is. Why get up? Yeah, no, I'm loud. I project. Yeah,
you project
well. Someone
will hear me. Oh, yeah. I loved your delivery of that line. Like your comedic timing was just so damn funny, even at that young age. So Joey runs in panicked. He's asking, what's wrong? Steph mimics DJ, telling him she's sick. Steph says that she'll get some juice for DJ. And adds, I wish I could get you Stacey Q's autograph.
Yeah, with that poster that hasn't been at all awkwardly just slapped onto the wall, proving that it's her favorite
I know. Singer. It was the Bengals last week.
Right, I was like, at least Janet take Jackson. The Bengals down. You know what I mean? Like, don't just cover it over. Like, oh, shit, we got to just put this on the thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at least take the poster down and be like, nope, it's always been there.
Right.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, yeah. You know, last minute, they just got to like tack it up as fast as possible.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So Joey touches DJ's forehead, saying she is burning up. He pulls the thermometer out of her mouth, and that is, it's somehow still reading a temperature of 101.
Right? That is impressive. Yeah. How has she been heating it up?
I don't know. It's under her tongue, but it's like, been at least 3 minutes. Well, but
it's under her tongue, but that's a thermometer that should accurately record the temperature right. of her body that's in there. Yeah. I don't know.
That's a weird oversight.
Back in the day before, I mean, now you can't, you get the little forehead scanner. You can't, what are you going
to
do?
It's harder to fake the forehead scanner.
Indeed.
Thinking. So DJ grabs his hands and Joey tells her, your hands feel like icicles, because she was holding onto those popsicles in the bathroom. She begs Joey to go to school, saying there's a big test on Canada. Joey asks, you want to go to school? You must be really sick. Joey announces that he will be calling the school, and once he's out of the room, DJ smirks and turns towards her brand new Stacey Q poster, announcing, I am so rad. She's ready. The plan is in motion.
Yep.
So next we are in the kitchen. Joey is doing the dishes, and he tells Michelle that she's doing a great job as she towel dries a mug with Benny the dish rag. Benny's back. We haven't seen him.
Because that's what you want, is your kid with a dish rag toy that they've put all over the place and sucked on, and then they're using it to dry the household dishes. That's what you want.
So, because they like rub hygienic. Their noses. They like, so, yeah, that's
Think
so
about,
gross.
Yeah, like your kid's blankie. And, no.
No, just no.
Benny the snot rag.
Benny the snot rag.
Yeah.
I am very excited to see that Benny is now like a recurring character in the show. He gets credited. Danny's first date. So yeah, he gets a credit now, at least by us.
Get this poor child a toy.
get her a
$17 million house in San Francisco with stuff everywhere. But that's how kids are, right? Oh my God, look at, I got you a $300 Lego set, but you just want the box.
They just want the wrapping paper. That is so true to life. And so Joey jokes, he says, tomorrow I'm going to teach you how to vacuum. Right then, DJ runs down the stairs telling Joey her hands are warm, her head is cold, she can go to school. Joey stops her. He imitates a siren noise and stops her from leaving and asks her to see her license, registration, and forehead. He confirms that she feels fine and asks, how can that possibly be? Mm-hmm. She tries to convince him that it's a miracle. And he tells her, the miracle would be if I fell for this. I know exactly what's going on. DJ panics that he knows the truth. But he explains, well, it's pretty obvious that she felt guilty about her phony sick bit, so she broke down and decided to go to school. DJ exclaims, yes, that's exactly right. Boy, I can't fool you. Joey agrees and says she's a classy kid, and he's very proud of her.
Oh, God, that's the worst. When you're in the middle of pulling some shenanigans, and your parent or an authority figure is like, you're such a great kid, and you're like,
I'm so proud of you, and you're just like, wow.
Right, you're like, I'm going to crawl under a rock. Yep.
The guilt is overwhelming.
Yep.
So DJ obviously is very uncomfortable by this statement, and she tells Joey she's got to leave to take that test. Joey sarcastically. Canada. Joey tells her no speeding, and DJ leaves. Joey walks over to Michelle, saying that her daddy is going to be very happy with the way he has handled things. He hands her a bowl to towel dry, and instead, she licks it, which might be, more sanitary
than
Benny.
The snot rag drying. Yeah, exactly.
Do you want tongue or do you want snot on your clean dishes? Yeah, right. Pick one.
Or in that case, both.
So this next scene is great. I love this scene so much. We are at the record store at the Stacey Q signing.
The record store is the most 80s,
so
80s. Record store.
It's got the turnstile.
It's got the turnstile. It's got the turquoise and pink. It's got neon.
Yeah.
Basically, I feel like the walls are wearing acid wash jeans. You know what I mean? Like, there's a girl with her bangs spray painted pink.
There's a lot of Aquanet in this.
Lot of Aquanet, lot of denim, lot of big hair. It was so great.
It's fantastic. I love this scene so much.
Yes.
So Kimmy and DJ are next in line to meet Stacey Q. And DJ reminds Kimmy that they gotta be cool.
That jacket is cool. Her B
Stacey Q's jacket.
Oh my God.
I was so enamored with her. I was just like, she's the prettiest woman I've ever seen. She got the jacket. Hair, perfect makeup.
So yeah. 80s.
So 80s.
So magnificently 80s.
Yeah. She was definitely the coolest person I had met in my entire life up until that point. Yeah.
For real.
So Stacey says hi to the girls and they immediately scream, she's so rad. DJ addresses her as Ms. Q. And Stacey asks who she should make the autographs out to. Kimmy immediately responds, I'm Kimmy. Two M's, a Y, an I, and a K, but not in that order. DJ is next telling her, you can make mine out to DJ, the girl who's like a sister to me, who I'll take to the Grammy Awards. Stacey just rolls her eyes. And DJ says, or you can just make it out to DJ. Stacey hands them the autograph pictures, telling them, see you soon. DJ looks at Kimmy and says,
at a mini mall. Just autographs at a mini mall.
I know. Such that was the moment. Thing. That was the thing to go. It was, yeah, in like the Sam Goody or whatever the record store was back in the
Sam
mini mall.
Goody. Goody got it.
Yeah. Goody got it. So DJ looks at Kimmy and the girls are ecstatic. She wants to be our friend. Of course, they take this moment and exaggerate it to the now they're BFFs with Stacey Q.
Right.
DJ and Kimmy both admire their autograph photos in front of the line, holding everyone else up, and they're completely oblivious to that.
Yes.
Very, very much a tween
yeah,
thing.
Exactly. Right. It's all about me. There's nobody else them. Exists in the world. Right.
The girls start to walk away, but suddenly they see Joey and Michelle. The girls run and hide behind a Stacey Q cardboard cutout. Jesse is holding Michelle as he waits in line, but Michelle wants to be let down. Joey has attached a leash to Michelle's pocket to keep track of her.
These were this was kind of the advent of
the child leash.
Of the child leash.
Which I think is very controversial, like now, but I think it's a great idea. What would you rather your kid get lost? No.
Yeah, and we all, if you've ever been a parent or been around a toddler, you know that at some point it's they're just like, I'm going to be a limp rag doll if you try and carry me.
Yeah. Or they'll just bolt. So, as soon as you put them down, you're trying to hold their hand, but no, they bolt across the room. So I think I'm in favor of baby leashes when the time is right.
I tried with mine. They both looked at me like, this is not going to work for me. It just didn't. Yeah.
Didn't like it. Success. They didn't want to be restrained. Okay.
But Michelle was a leash kid.
She was a leash kid. Which, you know what? When Joey and Jesse are in charge of her,
I mean,
Dan
she should be
smart.
Tied to something. You
she
know what I mean?
She needs to be tied to something at all times.
Yes. Yes.
So Michelle sees DJ and her mouth gets really wide as she points
that
in her direction.
Was hysterical, by the way. Like, I don't know who was playing peekaboo or what was happening to make her react like that, but it was brilliant.
It was perfect because she was genuinely surprised she was looking at.
It was so cute. Yeah.
So cute. So DJ tries to shoo her away, but Michelle starts running up to her. DJ throws Michelle's Benny ragdoll towards Joey, but Michelle fetches it and brings it back to DJ. DJ's like, I can't believe it. I taught her this game. Joey starts to tug on Michelle's leash, trying to bring her back. Joey asks the cool girl next to him in line if she can save him a place. He explains, what?
She's the one with the pink hair.
Oh, yeah.
Spray painted hair.
Yeah. She looks cool. I don't blame Joey for, he's kind of like trying to hit on her here. He says, I have to get my little baby and it's not even my baby, but this woman could not care less. She's just like, dude, get out of my line.
Right. She's like, I'm just here for Stacey Q's autograph. Right. I don't know why you've got a kid on a leash with a dish rag. I don't need to know. Like that's,
do you blame her? No.
Right. Yeah. She's probably like, bro, take your dish rag leash kid. And yeah, like,
he's like the creeper dude. It's like, why are you even here? So Joey walks over to Michelle and he finds her. And he finds DJ.
Da-da.
Yeah, he asks, what are you doing here? And DJ tells him, getting busted. She asks, well, what are you doing here? And Joey admits, well, I was so impressed with your honesty that I decided to come down here and get you an autograph. Twist that knife.
Yep. Yeah. You were such a good kid. And now you were so good. I was going to do something nice, but now you're just a disappointment.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's bad. It's bad.
Yeah, it's worse.
So Joey takes that autograph from DJ and clips the baby leash to her jacket pocket and walks her out of the store.
Oh my God. Mortifying.
Yes. DJ says that. She's like, this is so humiliating. So, everyone's watching, including Stacey Q, who's watching this whole embarrassing debacle.
She's not going to take you to the Grammys now because you're wearing a leash.
They're not BFFs anymore. Yeah. And her song, Don't Make a Fool of Yourself, is playing in the background, ironically.
Oh, I didn't. That's great. What a good little tie in there.
Yep.
I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure, stress-free, and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988, no phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your Rippers bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
So next, we cut to the kitchen where Joey is telling Michelle that it's a shame that kids have to grow up. He wonders why they can't stay like her, just so sweet and so innocent. Michelle's face is covered in food, and Joey adds, and so ladylike.
But the way she like sits there, and, like,
yes,
her little
she's like rests her so chin cute. In her hand, yeah. And she just, it's just like she's having a casual conversation with Joey Gladstone. Yes. So cute. Jesse comes bolting through the back door, asking Joey, what is the emergency? Joey tells him what DJ did, and Jesse asks, I left work early for that. Joseph, do you realize I was this close to finally figuring out where that line of ants actually begins? And John's
the one
got
line
this,
of
like,
ants, the original line of ants.
Yeah. John's got this this backwards red cap on with
the
little tuft of hair
through,
coming out.
And you know, he like put the hat on and then they pulled it through and then hairsprayed it so that it stayed like
that. It stayed up. You're like,
oh yeah. It was a whole look. It was a thing. sort of reminded me of a rooster or a cockatoo or some sort of bird.
It is very cockatoo-esque.
Yeah. Mm. Not very attractive.
Well, I kind of liked, I like this backwards hat look because it de-emphasizes the mullet. So I actually was like, oh, wow.
He's in a ponytail. If you look, his hair is in a ponytail. It's in a ponytail.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. There was no controlling that mullet. That mullet had to be secured.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, there was no just throwing a baseball hat on it. It had to be roped down.
I like it. I'm a fan of this look of Jesse's. So I'm here for it. Joey emphasizes that DJ did more than cut school. She completely faked him out, too. Jesse sarcastically asks, "You? No." Joey explains exactly how DJ tricked him, and Jesse realizes, uh-oh, he's the one who gave her that plan. He tells Joey about the interview she was doing on the person she admires the most. But Joey starts laughing this time, forcing Jesse to realize that there was no essay. He agrees with Joey, calling DJ a conniving little sneak. So the guys brainstorm about how they're going to handle this situation while Danny is gone.
Right? Jesse recalls, they blew it again. Danny leaves, and it's just all bad.
Every time. Jesse recalls when he would get in trouble as a kid, his dad showed him no mercy. To this day, when he goes to his parents, he goes straight to his room, no TV, no dinner. Joey says, well, when he was bad, his dad would sit him down, talk about right or wrong, good and bad, for hours and hours until finally, Joey just beat the hell out of himself. Which was that?
Which I was shocked that he said hell, by the way. that one was in a few times. And we let that one, again, I don't have a problem with it, but right. It was interesting that it was there in the earlier parts, but I find that in the later seasons, I think people would have freaked out more.
Yeah. Weirdly. Well, and I know he was saying this as a joke, but he's kind of making this casual reference to child abuse too, which I thought was not something that would fly today. I don't know. Like is he saying that instead of his dad Joey would beat himself?
No, beat him. No, you like beat yourself up. Not physically. Oh. If I'm saying I'm beating myself up, I'm not actually sitting in a chair punching myself in the face.
Oh, I took that
more figuratively.
A dark direction.
I was just like, I know. Yeah, a very special episode.
That comes later. That's in many seasons
from now. No, he's like, you just sit him down, talk to him, and then he would just feel bad about himself.
Oh, okay.
I think.
That's a much better interpretation. Let's go with that. That's a
G-rated
explanation. Yeah. So Jesse tells him that the worst part was when his dad gave him the dad face, and they both try to reenact it. Jesse shakes his head, saying Joey's reenactment is just the "I ate bad chili" face, which, knowing Dave,
when he... No, I've seen that face on Dave, and that's not that face.
Never good. So we cut to DJ and Steph's room where Jesse and Joey walk in with their arms crossed, utilizing their dad faces.
Mm-hmm.
DJ tells them that they don't need to do that. She feels bad enough. She apologizes and tells them she'll never do anything like this again. Jesse loudly proclaims, "Regardless, Joseph and I must deal with your misconduct, young lady." He pauses and questions, "Misconduct? Young lady? Oh, I really am turning into my father."
Oh, it happens so soon.
It happens to the best of us. He turns to Joey and says, "If I start wearing a white belt and shoes to match, throw me down the stairs."
Wow. Now that's dark.
But on brand for Jesse and Joey.
Right. Yes, very much so.
So Joey tells DJ that they have to punish her. So they're taking away TV for 2 weeks. Jesse doesn't think that's punishment enough. And he adds, "No TV, no music for 2 weeks."
Wow, no TV and no music?
Yeah, this is harsh. Joey fires back, "Well, I see your no TV and no music for 2 weeks, and I raise you no friends over for a month."
Particularly Kimmy. I feel like I would I would have had a very strict Kimmy ban in effect.
That would be an appropriate punishment since she kind of started this whole thing.
Yeah.
So DJ agrees that she needs to be punished because she let her dad down. She tells the guys, "I hate myself." Ooh. So Jesse pulls Joey away, whispering that, well, DJ is sorry. She's been punished enough. And when Danny comes back from LA, maybe they should tell him about this. Joey doesn't.
Yeah.
I agree.
You've got to, I mean, your kid ditched school. You got to, it's.
How do you keep that from dad, honestly? But Joey doesn't agree. So Jesse pleads, look, I don't want him to think that we can't take care of the girls. Oh, Joey's like, yeah, you know, you're right. Danny may never want to leave the house again if he hears about this. So they walk back over to DJ, announcing that they won't tell her dad what happened. DJ runs up to them, hugs them, and says, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over.
It's the best feeling when you do something stupid and your teacher's like, okay, look, I'm not going to call your parent. You're like, oh my God, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Huge relief. Huge relief. So we cut to the living room. Joey is reading a children's book to Jesse and Michelle. As Danny bursts in yelling, cowabunga, dudes, while sporting a Hawaiian shirt, a visor, and sunglasses. Bob looks so funny in this.
He looks so ridiculous.
He looks so ridiculous.
Also, he was gone, like he left the night before for a surfing competition and was home by the afternoon. The world's shortest surfing competition.
When did he have time to shop for a Hawaiian shirt and a visor?
Would he have the time to get to a surfing competition? Somebody caught one wave and he was like, and we're done. I'm going home now.
Thanks for the free trip.
Yeah.
So DJ runs up to Danny and he tells them, oh, I missed my little dudettes. He kisses Michelle on the head and exclaims, oh, let me dudette again, and kisses her for a second time. That's such a dad joke.
It really is.
So Danny asks, how did everything go at the house when he was gone? And they all say it was great.
It was great.
At that moment, Stephanie walks through the door saying, hi, Dad. Stephanie looks at DJ and comments on how much better she looks. Danny questions this, and DJ explains, oh, I got my hair done. Stephanie responds, well, you got gypped.
Which is a term that we no longer use these days.
Yes.
Just clarifying that, everyone. We know.
We know. We are aware.
We know what it means. Yes. We're aware. It was the 80s.
We don't use that
I didn't write
anymore.
The joke. Calm down.
But then Stephanie asks, I thought you were sick. And DJ confirms, oh, I'm sick of this hairstyle. Jesse finally pulls Steph aside and asks to play a little game called Let's Not Talk About DJ. Steph turns around and yells over to the family, hey, anybody want to play a game called Let's Not Talk About DJ? Stephanie, get the hint.
He didn't take her out of the room. He took her like 3 feet to the side. She's like, this obviously can't be that much of a secret if you're not even telling me in private.
Okay.
You know?
Okay,
she's like, all right, cool. Anybody else want to play?
You're just such the little sister that is just botching
this
whole plan.
Like, hey, don't do this. And you're like, you mean don't say this? Yes. This thing that I'm saying right now?
Such a classic little sister here.
Steph's just blowing it.
She's blowing it. So Jesse shoos Steph away, telling her the punishment of losing the game is having to polish the silver in the kitchen. So he gets rid of her. Danny asks if DJ was sick this morning, and Joey tells him, well, she was a little under the weather, but they got her right back on her feet and shipped her off to school. Mm-hmm. Cue Stephanie walking in, innocently telling DJ, hey, since you missed school today, your teacher asked me to give you your homework.
You're welcome. Being helpful. Thank you. So you're not behind on your work.
Or you're just being a snitch. I mean, I know you don't realize you're being a snitch, but you're a big old
Steph
snitch.
Steph is purely, she's like, look, I'm being helpful. I was petting your head. I was being so kind. I got your work. You look so much better. Steph's just confused as to why everyone's telling her that she's being gaslit, truly.
She's
and
totally
she's like,
being
I don't
gaslit.
Understand why none of you are talking about this. Yeah.
So everybody winces when they hear what Stephanie says. And Joey looks at Danny, commenting, now that is a good dad face. Danny questions DJ using her government name, Donna Joe.
Ooh.
So you know it's serious. And DJ admits everything to her dad. Stephanie is offended because she's saying, well, DJ made me a liar too.
Yeah.
Stephanie had to lie to Joey. She lied to her teachers. She lied to everybody.
Yeah.
Stephanie announces, I thought I knew you, but I don't. I share my rinse cup with a stranger. Like, that's the ultimate insult.
The things that you think you know. And here I am sharing my rinse cup with a stranger, just rinsing with the enemy.
Not only are you a liar, but you had to share your rinse cup.
Right. Also, like, who's sharing a rinse cup? Get your own rinse cup.
Yeah, why? You can't
or
have
like,
two
why do
rinse
you need a
cups
cup?
In the bathroom.
Just stick your head under the sink.
Yeah.
Need a cup? Sharing it?
That's disgusting.
That's gross.
Danny Tanner needs to get on that and not let his children share rinse cups.
I mean, at least they're brushing their teeth, though.
That's true.
Something to be said for that.
Very true. So Stephanie angrily gives DJ the get well card that she made for her and storms away.
Yeah.
Like you're taking this very personally.
I've devoted time and energy and effort to this.
Mm-hmm. So Danny sends DJ up to her room as Jesse and Joey try sneaking out. But Danny catches them and has a talk with them. He emphasizes, I want to know everything that goes on in my daughter's lives. I don't expect you to be perfect, but I expect you to be honest.
Mm.
Boom. There it is. That perfectly sums up this entire problem. It's the dishonesty.
Yep.
Yep.
That's what I was saying. Like, just be honest with me, kids. Yep. Just give me the truth. We can deal with the truth.
Honesty goes a very long way.
I love this. I don't expect you to be perfect, but I expect you to be honest.
I want to embroider that and frame it.
Right? I love
put
that.
Put it in my kids' rooms, too.
Yeah.
They need
for
those.
Real. Yeah, yeah.
So Danny realizes he's wagging his finger at them, and he stops himself saying he doesn't want to lecture them. He'd be lost here without them. And then the two explain why they lied to Danny, but they realize now that it's best to work things out together as a family. Another good lesson. Talk it out as a family.
Yeah.
So back in DJ and Stephanie's room, Stephanie is laying down on her bed, making a get sick card for DJ. Which I love.
That was so great. She's like, I'm making a get sick card. Like, she's just so, yeah.
Steph is so bitter, and I love it.
Yeah.
And petty.
oh.
So petty.
What Steph's got all the time in the world to be petty. Yes. She's like, I can do a little of that. Yeah.
That's definitely a little bit of Jody Sweetin shining through there on the page. Danny walks in, and Stephanie announces, uh-oh, lecture time. See ya. Danny tells Steph she should stay. But Steph doesn't understand. She didn't do anything wrong. Danny tells her, but you will. So take accurate notes. Danny brings DJ over and asks why she did what she did today. She admits she wanted that autograph more than anything. Danny asks if she knows what the worst part is. And DJ thinks it's because she cut school. And Stephanie guesses that you tricked Stephanie.
Yes, that's the worst part.
That
is truly the worst part.
It's all about Stephanie. But Danny tells DJ it's because she was selfish. All she cared about was getting DJ what DJ wanted, even if it meant lying and hurting others.
Ugh.
And this hits DJ hard. She admits, well, I don't want to be selfish, and I don't want to hurt other people's feelings. Danny knows that next time she'll think things through more carefully, because she's a lot better than what he saw today. Danny brings her in for a hug, and Stephanie asks, Daddy, am I your favorite now? Danny nods.
Back to the important stuff.
Right. Steph is all about herself right now.
Yeah, right. She's like, you blew it. Do I finally get to be the one?
Steph is swooping
in. I mean, I watch that happen with my kids all the time. They're like, ooh, she's in trouble, so you like me better now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. And Danny nods, and he tells Stephanie, yes. DJ gets offended and Danny laughs, saying no matter what happens, he will love the three of them exactly the same. The three of them hug, and then Danny adds, oh, I wish Michelle was here. I like her the best. And that is our show. It's a cute
Ta-da!
Little ending, a happy ending, a good lesson.
It's a very cute show. Stacey Q was in it, but just a tiny little bit.
Just that one scene. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like we didn't even film that in front of an audience because with all the extras in the background, the baby having to do blocking.
Right.
That was definitely a pre-tape day because otherwise it would have taken forever to shoot that
Very
in front
true.
Of an audience. So, and she never came back like you would think.
That was, yeah. Yeah, usually they'll like come back and there's sort of the, you know, the why is this person now at their house?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's like, oh, Danny found her at the airport and brought her back to, you know, meet DJ or something like that. But
yeah, we needed a little closure with the Stacey Q. But no,
with Stacey,
they didn't go that
I've
way.
Been needing closure with Stacey Q for the last 36 years.
Yes, we finally got it.
Finally need. Speaking of closure, though.
That was it. That was season one. How have we finished
closure,
season one?
Closure on season one. That was it.
That was it.
I can't believe it.
That was it. What are your overall thoughts on season one? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
Season one was incredibly enjoyable. I loved it. I really see where people started falling in love with the Tanners.
Mm-hmm.
And where we started really finding our groove as a cast.
Mm-hmm.
And watching like the first 22 episodes of our little family. It's fun kind of watching us all start to figure out our place in each other's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this was such a solid first season. Like you get a real, like from the pilot too. Like you guys, like from right from the jump, it was, you could tell exactly who these characters are, what their personality traits are, how they fit into the overall family tree.
Yeah.
And the family has chemistry. Like from the very first episode, all of you have so much chemistry. I didn't realize it was there from the very, very beginning. And naturally, it builds over 8 seasons, but it was there from the very beginning.
No, I'm. This has been so much fun to go back and start watching it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope all of our How Rude Fanaritos have been enjoying this as well.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you guys are. I would love to hear anybody's thoughts on season one. What are we hoping for season two? I mean,
oh well, I'm hoping to get. I hope Becky shows up soon because I'm tired of hearing about Jesse's love life and his flavor of the week. So.
Yeah.
No more Sea Cruise episodes. No more of these like bachelor pad episodes. Like the family is really the heart of the show. And so I'm hoping season two, they tame down some of the House of Comics bachelor style storylines.
Yeah, I think season two, we start really figuring out the family dynamic even more.
Good.
Mm. I can't wait. I'm so excited to get back into this and have more in 2024. We've got season two of our rewatch coming up. And if you guys want to follow us on Instagram, make sure you follow us at How Rude Tanneritos. You can also find us and email us at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. Wait, How Rude Tanneritos. That's not our Instagram. It's how rude. See?
It's been a while. I finally
get the outro down and now I screw up our Instagram handle.
How Rude Podcast.
Okay, How Rude Podcast. There we go.
Yes.
And then you can email us at howrudepodcast@gmail.com as well.
That's it.
You can follow us on Instagram at Jody Sweeten and at Andrea Barber. Please send us your comments. We love to hear your questions. We use those for our fan episodes, for all of our fun recaps. And we can't wait to see you for more season two of How Rude Tanneritos.
Woohoo.
So remember, the house is... Nope. The world is small, but the house is full.
Woohoo! It's a Christmas miracle! Well done, sweetie.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.